We do have a new baby on the way. You know, so here's an ultrasound picture. I took this of our ultrasound this morning, and we're taking these steps towards decorating the baby's room. We are a lot further along with this than we were with Emma. The baby's room was, as like I said, baby steps, right? So we got to be prepared for when the next one comes. I might have to hold it. I don't know. But taking baby steps, getting prepared, getting ready, are these things that we've thought through. We've taken steps to prepare, but everybody has seen progressions of a baby. Baby steps, you know, Emma's been here. I believe everybody here has seen Emma progress from crawling to walking. And that's the idea with the lesson today. So with baby steps, we can kind of think about this today. Baby steps is actually defined as an act or a measure that is in the first stage in a long, challenging process. And I just kind of want to think about today as we're talking about baby steps. Because with baby steps, we normally think about with teaching somebody, we're thinking of taking baby steps. So that's the idea of the lesson today, is when we're working with somebody or teaching the word, we're thinking of this long, challenging process. And I want to keep reiterating that it is a long, challenging process that I shouldn't expect somebody just to learn or to agree with me by just having a couple-minute conversation with them. I think of studying the Word and going through this long, challenging process. Because with baby steps, there's actually a progress that you have to do before you even step. And of course, I just wanted to give a fact here that between 9 and 10 months is when a baby starts walking. So I was thinking about that when you study with somebody. Are we thinking that somebody's going to understand this in a week, 2 weeks, month? But if we think about it as in the term as defined, there's actually a process that would have to happen. And of course, our first process, before we learn to walk, of course, is to crawl. Right? So with crawling, I just have some thoughts and some photos here, right? Some crawling. These are processes that we have to do before we even learn to walk. We have to build that muscle and build that mobility. I've read a lot about the development of a baby, and it's actually interesting to think about when a baby learns to crawl, they're learning how to sustain themselves from falling, and they also work on peripheral vision. So if they skip that step, there could be issues with peripheral vision, muscle and balance and sustaining and learning how to catch themselves when they fall. So crawling is an important step. But to kind of add some Bible verses with this, I think of that first step, that first learning to crawl, that first coming to knowledge. I have a couple verses here. So in Proverbs 1 and 5, it says, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." So I first have hearing. Before we take any steps, before we make any action, we have to hear. You know, also in Proverbs 18 and 15, it says, "The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." So again, it's seeking that knowledge. Before there's a walk, there's trying to understand. And like I said, there's a lot of research in this desire to move. And this desire to move, a simple thing that you're supposed to do for a baby, is set something just out of reach. Just out of reach, so they learn to work muscles. So when Emma was little, we would set toys just out of reach so she would learn to crawl. There had to be that desire, that willingness to move. And in a part of this crawl, I wanted just to mention about the Gentiles. This is kind of building it up to this thought here. So with the Gentiles, here in Acts 13 and 42, there's an interesting thing that happens. It says, "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." They begged that the word would be spoken to them. There was this willingness to move. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. This is a big thing that happened. The Gentiles are wanting to learn more. They're wanting to move away, maybe, from what they have studied. So they are just, to me, learning to crawl. They're wanting to have that desire to move. There's possibly this new word that's just out of reach. They're starting to flex their muscles and their knowledge and gaining wisdom that we just learned, that we just read. And that step had to take place before we take baby steps. That desire. So, of course, I have some pictures of Emma, right? Some baby steps. This is in the sand, right? Taking some baby steps. This is when she's about 1 year old. But taking those baby steps, putting that foot forward, learning how to use your muscles and working with them, I think is very important to this story. Especially because we're just talking about a baby in this sense. We're talking several months of working on those muscles, several months of trying to put motion forward and learn how to walk. You know, I've read a lot of studies, and I was going to add them in here, but I thought it might get a little too difficult. That if we weren't taught to walk or were shown how to walk, somebody might struggle in walking. I read a lot of cases about a guy that had his legs amputated, was trying to teach his baby to walk. Well, it never learned to walk and didn't progress. And one day when he was in his wheelchair, it got up in the wheelchair and tried to use the wheelchair. It thought that's how it was supposed to use motion and not necessarily walking. So there's a lot of things when I think about with walking and learning to walk and working with Emma. I was talking to Roger that when I found these pictures, I actually found pictures of Emma when she was first taking her steps. And about how much help she needed. And about how much hand-holding she needed to learn how to walk and use her muscles and sight. And I think that pairs perfectly when we talk about the Ethiopian eunuch. So let me just take a minute here and kind of break this story down. But I want you to think about all of these pieces. I also want to think of these pieces up to this point because I believe the Ethiopian eunuch was like in the crawling process. He already wanted to learn. He already wanted to know. He was already reading from books here. And so I'd like to break this down in just a few pieces. And maybe it'll bring a little bit of more light to this story. So here in Acts 8, 26 through 40, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he arose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court officer of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had to come to Jerusalem to worship." So this person has come to Jerusalem from Ethiopia to worship. And now he is on this strip, this area of road between Jerusalem and Gaza. Now, today, these are still the same names used in these locations. We can refer to as the Gaza Strip. And we also have Jerusalem here in this same area. Right? We have Jerusalem here, and we have Gaza in this area. This would have been the area that he would have been traveling when Philip came to meet him. So the distance between these two places is about 3,711 miles. So somewhere in here is where Philip goes to meet him. Now I want to think of this story a little bit further because it says he's from Ethiopia. Now, I don't know if you guys are aware of where Ethiopia is, so let's take a picture of where this area is. Here's the continent of Africa. And we can see where Ethiopia is. Ethiopia is right here in this region. And if you like coffee, I think the best coffee in the world comes right here. It's right there in that region. It's just right down from Ethiopia. That's what I always think of when they talk about Ethiopia. Now, the area that we were just discussing is up here. I don't know if you can make that out, but that's the Gaza Strip, and right there would be Jerusalem. So there's a good amount of distance between these two areas. So the distance between these, as the bird flies, is about 1,593 miles. But if you were to travel this distance, you're talking about 827 hours between these two places. So as we continue to read, we start to find out a few things about this Ethiopian eunuch. Remember, there's quite a bit of distance between these two areas. So as he's traveling, and was returning, seating in his chariot, he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join the chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guide me?" Remember I was talking about baby steps, about how you needed help and guidance? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." So that's there in our reading, but also that's quoting from Isaiah 53 and 7. And it goes on to say, "And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this is? About himself or about someone else?'" He's confused at this point. He needs help. Like I said, it's almost like he's in the crawling stage of his life. And I also wanted to show the distance too. Somebody from Ethiopia is in Jerusalem, and he is completely unaware of what Jesus went through. He doesn't understand what's said there in Isaiah. So he's asking earnestly. He needs this help. Philip opened his mouth and began with a scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. So now he's went from this crawl to this walk. And we see where this walk leads him. "And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?'" He went further into his understanding. "And he commanded the chariot to stop, and both went down to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Athos, and as he passed through and preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." So we see this beautiful progression here of this Ethiopian eunuch. When Roger first asked me about this lesson, I was thinking, wow, what great steps to show than what happened to the eunuch here. He didn't understand. He needed help in this. He was simply given help, and then he understood. So now he was able to walk and rejoice in this knowledge, when before he was confused. He was at a crawl. Also, I think about the jailer. I think about the jailer here in Acts 16, 25 through 34. I think the Ethiopian eunuch is a perfect example of this progression. But I also have thought about this jailer as in this progression of not knowing who Jesus was, to coming to Jesus' will. So I'd like to read that real quick here in Acts. It says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all of the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.' And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Isn't that the question? That's the same question that we have in the beginning of Acts, where they're afraid. And they know they need to do something, so they ask what they need to do to be saved. So again, I see this as a crawl, wanting to learn, desiring to learn knowledge. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and he will save you and your household. And they spoke the word to the Lord, to him and all of his household. And they took them the same hour of the night and washed their bonds, and he was baptized at once. And he had all his family. Then he brought them up to the house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with the entire household that he had believed in God. So again, to me, this is that progress, that step of not knowing what he needed to do to be saved. They simply studied with him, showed him these words to be saved. These are simple steps that we see here. We see the Ethiopian eunuch and the jailer. And I thought of several other ones, like I said, as I've put this together. And maybe you guys have thought of other ones too, that kind of have this same story. So we think of this as great stories that we see this progression. However, other things happen when we learn to walk. So we've talked about crawling, then taking baby steps. Well, as you know, working with a baby, they don't just get up and walk around like everything's fine. They often fall down. Often fall down. And of course, falling down, has some pictures with this, right? Falling down hurts sometimes. We got up this morning, our driveway was a sheet of ice. Emma fell down as soon as we walked out the door this morning. She got hurt. She cried. She fell down this morning. And I've thought of this with walking. I mean, I almost fell down too, so I can't say it was practice. But falling down is a part of life. Falling down is a part of baby steps. Falling down is a part of our natural progression, learning God's will. However, practice might be what we need when it comes to this piece of falling down. So I'd like to read a couple verses that puts our minds in the idea of practice. So in Philippians 4 and 9 it says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So we are to practice all of these things. Things that we've learned and things that we've received. Things that we've maybe have taken baby steps on, we need to practice. Also in Romans 15:4 says, for whatever things are written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. As you can imagine, a lot of the things that I've discussed this morning have to do with learning. I've always told people I'm a slow learner. I'm still in school. But the thing is I've never stopped learning, right? I might be a slow learner, but that doesn't mean that I just stop. It may take me longer to learn something than other people, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The way that I read these verses, they're written for our learning through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, that we are to keep learning. So in order to learn, this is a common thing we say in education, in order to learn, you have to fail. Now, I purchase a lot of equipment for our classes knowing that I'm going to have something blow up or something burn out, and I'd rather a student have a learning experience that way by failing at school than failing when they're on the job. I've always thought of that. But this patience and learning is so important because when we fall down, we have to learn from that. So with practice, also in 2 Samuel 22 and 37 says, you enlarge my path under me so my feet do not slip. Talks about walking so we don't slip. We can follow God's word. Also in Proverbs 24 and 16, for all righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but a wicked shall fall by calamity. I thought of this verse. Sometimes we may fall down, but it's up to us to get back up. You know, a wicked person or someone not doing God's will may fall down and never get back up. However, a righteous man may fall many times, many times, but we are to get back up. Also with practice, 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. So when I was thinking of this morning, though, when we were talking, that we are to practice these things. We are to practice walking in these things. Maybe even taking baby steps for reproof, for correction. We are to practice in these. In Proverbs 4:11-13, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. So talking about walking and not falling. Because we do have things that protect us when we fall. I think of the armor of God. We have these things that protect us for this fight. So in Ephesians 6:11-18, we read of the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the word of the Spirit, and prayer. I added that one as that last piece. There in Ephesians 6:18, these things that protect us. These things that protect us as Christians from the verses we read about practice and learning to walk and making sure we're following the scriptures and doing what's right. However, today we're talking about baby steps. We're talking about maybe approaching somebody that's never heard the gospel, like the jailer or like the Ethiopian eunuch. Somebody that hasn't studied, that doesn't know these things. Do I expect them to know the whole armor or to be able to carry the whole armor of the Lord? So I was thinking, do I expect this when I talk with people that's never heard of the Bible, that's never studied? Do I expect them that after I have a short conversation with them, that they've put on the full armor of God, that they have a complete understanding, that they know these things? I was thinking with this armor, because it's, I believe it's alluding to a Roman soldier, that a Roman soldier would carry anywhere from 66 to 100 pounds of gear. And I was thinking of taking these baby steps and learning about God's will. Am I giving someone 100 pounds of weight and say, take this with you, carry this with you? Or are they going to learn what each of these things are and practice with these things? Because it said a Roman soldier might have to spend 4 to 8 weeks even just learning how to carry his gear. They would have to go through training just to learn how to use it. Do I not expect that of others when I sit down and study with them? So really it comes down to baby steps. These baby steps can be simple. And when I thought about what are some two simple verses that could sum up everything that I have thought about with baby steps, I thought of these two verses. I like to keep things really simple. So I feel like these verses are very, very simple. So I'd like to use these two verses in closing today. Because I know we think about patience. I read a whole bunch of verses about patience when we are to work with others. So I think of something simple, like 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We also talk about if we love God, we would keep his commandments. And I know there's a lot more that comes with that. We also talk about the milk of the word. I feel like this is part of the milk of the word. This is simple to understand. This, we know that God is love. We sing Jesus loves me and stuff like that. These are simple things for us to understand. And I also think of 1 Peter 3:28. There is also an antitype which now saves us. I think this is simple. Baptism. Not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think of how simple this is. how simple these things are. And I think when I sit down and study with people, do I go to these things or do I go to something that's extremely challenging? Something that's really hard to try to understand. I think sometimes when I study with others, and I'm just saying, you know, people at work and other friends that I come across, I'm expecting them to have the same amount of knowledge of the Bible that I do. And I think that's hindered some people's learnings that I've worked with. I wouldn't expect the same of my students to start in a top-level class without going through the prerequisites. And I was thinking, with baby steps and with patience is where we need to start with everyone. And maybe it's just topics. Maybe somebody has studied the word their entire life but doesn't understand a topic. Kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch. He was studying from Isaiah but didn't understand the topic. And it was baby steps to get him to understand. I think these verses make it really simple that we can come to the conclusion that Jesus loves us and that we need to be baptized. These are just some of the thoughts that I had this morning. If you also consider these steps simple and want to be baptized or have any needs of the church, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.